Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
I guess it's a scientifically engineered superhuman on the ABC Family series, Kyle XY. She's also a bona fide denizen of Asgard in the Marvel Studios blockbuster Thor and Thor: The Dark World. Now she is the star of a hit NBC action drama series called Blindspot, where she plays a woman who woke up in a bag in the middle of Times Square, all naked and stuff with no memories and covered in all these tats. I mean, who has not been there? Anyway, the tattoos are a complicated puzzle. They lead her and the FBI into dangerous situations and dark revelations. And we are certainly along for the ride. And tonight you are on the ride with Jamie Alexander, who will be talking with Chris Hardwick. We have listened to you. We've heard you on the Twitters and the Instagrams and the Facebooks using @talking. I'm going to read questions, comments, comments. We're going to get messages from the video monitor here. We're going to get questions from the audience. You guys can think about what you want to ask. I have a lot of stuff to give away up here. You know, just stuff, just cool, fun things signed by our guest, Jamie Alexander. So I'm going to talk first, and so let's get into this. So So congratulations on Blindspot, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, it is a very difficult thing to get a show on the air, but then have it be hugely successful and then just continue doing it. Was television something you always wanted to do?
You know, I mean, back in the day, I was like, pretty much anything. I'd do a commercial, like whatever, you know, I could do. But it wasn't like I got into film and then, you know, I just wasn't finding roles that I really liked for a while. You know, I was like, oh, this one's like, I don't know, I'm going to be kissing this guy or whatever. I'm like, okay, I'll get paid for it. But, you know, it was just like, I really wanted a strong female character. And sure. I was lucky in the Thor films to have that. And then this show came along and I'd read a bunch of pilots. And then I was like, this is it. This is, this will use my fight background and like pretty much like all my talents
mashed into one.
I was like, how far can I take this? I have like three talents. That's it.
Did they come to you with the show or did you audition for the show?
They came to me with the show.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and it was funny because my showrunner, Martin Garrow, who's Canadian, had thought because I was on Kyle XY, which filmed in Canada, he thought I was Canadian. So I was like, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, oh, I'm just so happy to give, you know, like Canadians more jobs. And I was like, yeah, that's cool. I'm from Texas.
Yeah. The literal opposite of Canada in every way.
Yeah.
So how was the show pitched to you? Because it really, in the very first scene of the show, it's an incredible first scene. You emerge from a bag and
yes,
you're completely naked in Times Square and you're covered in all these tattoos. Is that just, you read that like first line of the page and said, this looks incredible?
I was like, okay, I'll be naked and get paid for it. And extremely sticky. I was reading it and I was thinking like, okay, what, like how many tattoos? It says covered in tats. You know, I've read so many characters that, and they say that, and it's really like a giant rib tattoo and something on your leg.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like sporadic. I didn't realize it was literally like the only places I don't have tattoos on the show are the palms of my hands, the bottom of my feet, and this side of my neck.
Oh, my God.
Every armpit, everything's tatted. So I was like, okay, you know. But as I'm reading it, I'm really just like, wow, you know, Martin really wrote this female exceptionally well. Everything really tied together. There were twists I didn't expect. There was just, and this is all just in the pilot. So I went and met with them, met with the director, Mark Pellington, and they had plans for multiple seasons. I mean, this guy was like pitching me all kinds of stuff, and I was like, okay, so this isn't just like the pilot's going to be good and then the rest is going to be crap.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
that always happens.
Right.
So I read it. I loved it. I met with them. We figured it out, and then there I was in Times Square on a Tuesday at about 4 a.m. naked, climbing out of a bag in the snow.
I mean, such a common story in New York.
I know.
Wake up naked in Times Square. Did I get a tattoo? Oh, I got 1,000 tattoos last night. 1,000
tattoos.
The tattoos are really kind of a character on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Just like the city of New York is, you know
right.
what I mean? So it's so important, especially for me. I always try to find ways to, like, show them, you know, because it'll be winter on the show, and, of course, it'll be, like, snowing in New York. And I'm like, what if I roll my sleeves up, you know? And so we'll just put those on and that sort of thing. But it's so important to show them because, yeah, they are literally like an extra character on the show.
And what's your process like when you show up for work? Do you have to show up like 5 hours before you start
shooting? I show up completely wasted. I'm like, oh, here we go again. I'll call my makeup artist, who's amazing. Her name's Stephanie. If you can't tell, she's amazing. She puts these on me all the time. I'll ask her if she wants a coffee. We'll bring coffee for each other. And then we'll just stand there and I'll be naked with like a sticker down there, and it's super awkward, and she'll just be putting the tats on, talking about her 2-year-old son and what they did on the weekend, and then we'll listen to some sort of horrible 80s rock, and then it's like tons of caffeine later. I'm still standing there 8 hours into it, and
but
that's when I wear the full body, which, you know, if you've seen the show, I don't wear that all the time.
Right. Like,
you know, I'm in pants and, you know, normal people clothing.
Right.
And so we'll just put on, you know, the arms or the neck and whatever that, you know, would show normally, like in what I'm wearing right now. So that goes by pretty quick.
So it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But the role, I mean, it's all these things that I think if you go to drama school, they don't teach you how to sit for 8 hours in a makeup chair or how to act while you're having to like roundhouse kick people in the head.
Right.
So talk a little about the physical demands of the show and how that affects the acting part of the show.
I mean, it's funny because I'll put the tattoos on and I'm having a hard time sitting here for this long. I do not like to stay in one place. I like to move around. I want to play with these hand things on this table.
Listen, this is your playhouse. You can play with whatever you want.
Yeah,
Do you want a Lady Sif sword to play around with? And I mean, it looks.
This is holy moly.
Right?
Yeah, this is crazy.
Oh, look at that! You did a hand flip thing, and you just stabbed me.
Well, So casually.
I would have just taken off half my scalp if this were a real sword. This
best
would not
way
be
to get
real.
A haircut.
That's the absolute best.
But yeah, I'm always, you know, looking around. So my makeup artist, at one point, she put on this cartoon her son watches on her iPhone and sat it in front of me. And I don't know why, but I was like, that's interesting. I watched it for like 2 hours straight. And I didn't move. And she was like, okay. So she's like, you're like my son. So she will literally go, look over here. And then I'll be like, what? And she'll do something.
It's a tattoo, yeah.
And so it's just become this thing. And so so that helps. But then, you know, we'll have these scenes where I'm doing these, you know, insane fight scenes. But like somehow, sometimes I have to be teary-eyed or I have like literally 4 paragraphs of dialogue to say as I'm beating the crap out of somebody.
Right.
And that can get pretty difficult. But at this point, I literally will show up, learn 5 moves in the fight, shoot those 5, then learn the next 5, shoot the next 5. I mean, I never have time to rehearse. So so what I'm saying is at any moment, I could attack you.
if you wanted to, you know, any network is always like, hey, we'd sure love some viral clips of the show. We don't really do that on the show. So if you wanted to just beat the shit out of me, I think AMC would love that. Like, there'd be a lot of clips that would go out. If you just want to just swing off the chair and kick me in the side of the head, I'll roll with it.
I think I remember, how many years ago was it? We went to grab coffee, and I tried to get him to ride on my motorcycle with me.
Oh, yeah, no fucking way.
He was like,
yeah.
He was like, no.
Yeah, I mean, we went and had lunch. I don't know. It was like four or 5 years ago at Luna Park. It was at Luna Park on La Brea in Wilshire. And And, you know, I show up in my car, and then she shows up in this, like, friggin' leather jumpsuit, and, like, this helmet comes off like a space person, and this amazing motorcycle, and I go, what the fuck? Did you, where did this come from? And you go, yeah, I just rode over from my house. And I'm like, that is, who does? That's incredible. I mean, first of all, I would not trust riding a motorcycle in Los Angeles.
No, it's
the
tough.
Streets are bad, and yeah. No, and people just, they sort of pick a lane.
But
and if you don't get murdered by our public transportation system.
So they do not care.
They do
like,
not.
I wonder if I open the door, how far she'll fly off her bike.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm always, you know, very, very cautious.
Yeah, so you actually do live it. Like, it's not just a, you're not just an actor like, oh, in real life, I'm frail. You are definitely not frail.
I mean, I'm frail. So you're right, I'm not.
Not, frail. Not at all. But then also, the other great side, I don't know. Hey, Brandon, do we have that picture that I sent you? Also, if you ever, I'm moving to a new house several years ago. I had no furniture or anything in the house. And Jamie said, you know what? I love furniture shopping. So I said, okay, let's go antiquing. And I took this picture of Jamie at an antique store in front of an elephant that I tried to talk myself out of not buying.
It's
like an amusement park element. Why would I not want that elephant in my house?
Yeah, it was so funny. There was like a giant stormtrooper. There was some weird stuff. I was holding hands with a Spider-Man replica or something.
I mean, you say weird. I say normal stuff.
Right. But there were also some very odd phallic things. If I remember, there was something.
Oh, at the
like
store.
Like the boobs that hung on the wall thing.
Yeah, this was
Did
not in my
those?
House. No, I didn't
I
get
like,
those.
I didn't mean, know. I was like, to each their own.
Don't take a dump on my wall tits.
But seriously.
No. I did not get any of the weird phallic stuff there.
Don't it's touch all, the art.
Don't. Yeah, it's art.
Yeah.
But you really do take these roles that are so physically demanding. Did you fight Ronda Rousey? Did you have to fight Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
You did.
But I mean, TV fight.
Yeah.
So, but might I add, she's obviously an incredible fighter. And there were a few times, especially with my stunt double, where she landed a couple hits. because, you know, I thought about it. I was like, God, she's trained to make contact. So how do you reverse everything you've learned your entire life?
Right.
Not make contact. She was really great with me. My double during rehearsal, she just clocked her in the face. And my double came to me, Heidi, who's incredible, comes up to me and she goes, oh, man, Rhonda, she hit me in the head and I'm so happy. And I was like, what? And I was like, I mean, yeah.
What a badge of honor.
Yes. And so I said, can you, how many fingers am I holding up? Like, can you see? And she said, no, it's great. I mean, and then she threw me on the ground and she was like, cause they were, we did a lot of throws.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, cool. And she's like, so, you know, if you want, like, I'll do most of the fight with her. And that's, and I was like, you know what? That's not, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I was nervous because she is a tank and she is so lovely, you guys. She took pictures with every single crew member we had. Gracious, kind, super excited. Was so much fun. And she was just fantastic. I mean, I can't say enough good things about her. She's really cool. And might I add, when she was shooting the machine gun, I've never seen triceps on a woman pop through a shirt.
Yeah.
Ever.
They're just winking at you the whole time.
No, all of us, I was supposed to run in this one take, and I was just staring at her, and then they were like, I heard them cue me, and I was just like, what? And then I ruined the take, because I was staring at her.
You were hypnotized by her glorious triceps.
And now everybody knows that it was my fault.
You know, I'm interested to hear about, because you were talking about just roles for women that weren't satisfying for you. So what's an example of something that you see when you're reading a script and you immediately roll your eyes and you go, oh, shit, not this again? Really?
Well, it's okay. So for me, I just want things that challenge me and also know what I'm good at. So I want to excel at something I'm good at that's, you know, like the physicality of roles, right? So I'm never really going to play the sweet girl next door. It's just not believable because you guys would be like, oh, she's got to be a serial killer. You know, so I'll read some certain things. So I don't know if it's the fact that I wouldn't enjoy playing it. I don't know if it's necessarily a bad role for a woman. It's just not something I would like. So a lot of times I'll read scripts and it'll be something like, you know, the character description will be this: bombshell body, extremely beautiful woman. And then, but it doesn't tell you anything else. Like, what is she, a doctor? Like, what the hell does she do?
Right.
Like, and so it'll just say that and I'll go, meh, and throw it out. Cause I'm like, huh. And then a lot of times they'll be like, they'll describe a woman's upper half, and I'll be like, well, that's not happening, so I'll throw that out. But a lot of times it'll be just like kind of a woman that, you know, verbally the way she's written is almost valley girlish, or she's always in damsel in distress, can't stand up for herself. And those characters are fine to play if there's an arc to it where things start to change and
sure.
she starts to understand she is powerful. And that just doesn't happen a lot, you know. And instead, you know, a lot of people want the woman to just be this beautiful woman that's, you know, pretty much in the movie for eye candy. And so that's why I don't work a lot.
Well, one of the ways that I've heard a lot of my friends who are female actors will say it's when the only role for the female characters is ultimately to define the male character.
Right.
Or to be there as a prop for the male, like the male characters are written very complex, and it's just like, oh, here's your tea or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So it goes both ways, because I've also read scripts where I've been like, wow, this is the guy is written terribly, and then, but so is the female, and then you're just like, oh, this is just a bad script.
Well, the female character is
50-50.
Yeah, the male character's pretty bad too. Yeah. So I got to give it to him for equality.
Everyone sucks in it. Double sucky.
But you don't have to. I mean, I would imagine you don't necessarily have to audition much anymore for stuff, right?
I don't for TV. I was getting a lot of scripts but I'm the type that's like, if a director's like, we really just want to see you put something on tape, and I understand how people are visual, and so I'll be like, all right. And I just think it's fun. Like, I really have a good time, and I try to take something, even if there's a script that to me is 80% good, but there's just some dialogue that I'm not sure about, I take it as a challenge and go, I wonder if I can make this line work.
Right.
Like, I wonder if I can make it good, you know, instead of being like, oh, your writing sucks, change it, you know. It's my job to make it good. So I try to do that. I gravitate towards, you know, the strong female roles, and I don't know how to, I always feel kind of like a dick when I say that, because it's like, it's implying that I am, you know, all powerful, strong female, and nothing can defeat me. But that's definitely not the case.
Well, you.
I'm not a great swimmer.
Well, then don't ride your motorcycle into a pool.
I will not.
But I think it just means that something has to be. I think you described it in the perfect way. It just has to be challenging for you in some way.
Yeah.
You have to feel like there's some growth or something. It can't just be a one-dimensional character.
Right, and I think something that would be challenging for me is I can, you know, I mean, you guys were laughing. I don't know. Was there something telling you to laugh at what I say?
No, there's no sign.
I can be funny.
You can be funny.
But if somebody were to write... If I'm going to break a kneecap, fool, that's going to happen.
You're going to do it.
But if I was, like, given a script and they're like, okay, make this funny, I would probably look at it and be like, but it's not funny. I don't know how to make this funny. But if I get to make up the line, that's just, then it's being me. But if I got to improv, I'd probably be able to do comedy. But otherwise, it's really challenging for me because there's stuff with timing and things that I mostly do action and drama. So I'm, like, out of practice with being...
You know what, though? I'll bet you. I mean, if you're looking at it on a page and trying to get into the sort of the rationale of why something is funny, I think that you might be overthinking it. Because I think if someone just dropped you into a scene, a comedy scene, you'd figure it out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I you're right.
I really do. I think.
But it's one of those things that I find it intimidating, and then. You know, I like to play a lot of physical comedy. Like, I genuinely think I'm Chris Farley inside. So it's like, and even though, like, physically I look one way, it seems to contradict the way my personality is.
Yeah.
So when I go and I will audition for comedy, people will just be like, what the hell was that? You know, because they're just like, I don't get it. And then my tail goes, whoop.
When you just burst through the door and go, I'm living in a van down by the river. Yeah. Like, that was crazy. It's a big choice.
Yeah,
that was a big choice.
And so...
But I know that, I know, like you said, you grew up in Texas.
Texas, yes.
Four brothers?
Four too many, yes.
Are you, and you were the only girl in the family?
Yeah. Now do you get it?
So what, and where are you in the age range in that group?
Well, I have one younger, and he had a baby 6 months. Well, he didn't, but you know.
He watched his wife have a baby.
Pretty much, yeah. And so that's amazing, but it's so weird to have my little brother, he has a kid and he's married, and I'm like, what's up? I don't know. I can't even paint my own fingernails. I have to go get that done. So,
gee, you only have a super successful career in a television show.
Great with a sword, terrible with anything feminine.
That's right.
So I have three older, so they're pretty rad. Tubular.
But did they torture you growing up? What do four brothers do with a...
They do until I win. there was one time I used to... My poor little brother I should just give him a freebie and just be like, just punch me in the face. Because I used to dress him as a girl. Mm-hmm. I cut his hair under a cardboard table. I remember cutting his hair when I was like six. Mm-hmm. My poor mother had the stomach flu and she didn't know. And I was like, Mommy, look. And I cut a V into his head. I'm glad I didn't kill him. So anyway, what I'm saying is I've always liked sharp objects. But yeah, I used to just really, like, I was just so bad to him. And there was this one point where I don't know what happened, but I was like beating him up on the ground. And he lifted his head and he gave me a black eye. And then I remember being like, shit. Because, like, he's getting bigger, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he's growing. He's going to be bigger than me. And
that's when you aim for the nuts.
Right, that's what.
It doesn't matter how big they are.
So then I
go right for the stones.
Right, I do. It's like, that's, you know, that's.
Oh, you're big enough now. They've dropped. I'm going to hit them.
Right, yeah.
It's time.
I can go for the ankles. And then I got into wrestling in high school, and my little brother kind of followed suit and ended up winning state and going to nationals and then got a scholarship.
Oh, wow.
So he was... So I don't fight him anymore.
No, but I know that you actually do understand self-defense.
Yeah.
And don't you help people understand self-defense?
I do, yeah. I for a while, especially when I was living here, because now I live in New York, when I was living here, I used to volunteer down at the Dream Center, which is in downtown L.A. And if any of you guys want to know about it, I can talk to you after the show about it. But it's really cool. Like, anybody can volunteer. I work with an organization called Red Eye. And they pretty much take people in the arts and say, what can you contribute? You know, and these are human trafficking victims. These are women who have been abused that have small children. These are guys who are in gangs that, you know, really are trying to get their life back on track. So we go there and I'll cook chili for like the moms and the children. And it's really fun. But I started training a lot of the young women who were human trafficking victims in the gym. So I was like trying to teach them to respect their bodies because they do not. And
right.
So I was working with those girls quite a bit, weightlifting and then some yoga, some stuff like that. And then we started going over self-defense techniques that are, you know, pretty much minimal effort, maximum results. If that makes
sense. Well, let's just say that you had a friend who was a guy who may not be that great with self-defense. there's a guy I know. Mutual friend. Mm-hmm. You know, what would be something that you would show this person that I could then take home and tell them? Something that I haven't already taught that friend.
Okay, well, your friend.
Sure.
So you could tell your friend.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain pressure points in the body that...
pressure points?
I don't even want to show you guys because you're going to use it on your friends or you're like, I just know I'm going to hear something and they'd be like, my brother threw up because I, you know, hit him in the rib pressure point.
Be amazing.
Yes, I know. And that's, there are things that you can do. So a knockout point is behind the ear. We know this from boxing.
Sure.
This is called a Phoenix eye. If you push this in here, you can knock somebody out.
Okay.
So if somebody's got you in close quarters, like you can grab their face and pull here and stick your fingers in their eyes.
Shit. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll totally do that.
And what especially, they don't have to, I mean, they can, you, it takes little force to do it. And even if they're on top of you. So it's a really quick, if your arms are tied, you can use parts of your forehead to actually break someone's nose. And
if you
push up this way, this goes into the brain and kills somebody. There's like a couple moves in Wing Chun, which I've been studying for the show, that are really just like energy based, like, and you can, there's like 3 points where you can hit somebody and it just, then they're done.
That's it.
But I don't, that's why when I do them on the show, I really have to be so careful that I don't hyperextend and actually hit the person. And usually I'm fighting, I won't typically fight the other actor. I'll fight their double because it's just safer that way.
Sure.
And so I feel like stunt people who've been doing martial arts for many years will get out of the way. Although yeah. I did break my nose. I got punched in the nose because I got a little...
What?
So in August. I know, it's like button, so it just healed. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, my God.
My mom was like, what happened? And she's like, it looks the same. I was like, my mom thinks it looks the same. It's the same.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I think you should start making crew shirts that said for guests that come on that said, I was a guest on Blind Spot. Yeah. And all I got was my nose stabbed into my brain or a black eye or something.
There was blood. It was everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. But yeah, I've gone through some very interesting injuries. But it teaches me more about my body. And then also, in the beginning, so in the pilot, I was like a little string bean. I was like a little thin, whatever. And I was like, I need to put some weight on because I'm going to break in half. And so I put on like 20 pounds because I was like, I have to be able to hit a wall and not shatter. So
right.
I'm going to, so pizza, it was the best. I don't know if any of you guys have ever tried to gain weight on purpose. It is the best time ever.
Well, yeah, especially because when you're working out, you have to you have to bulk up.
Right.
So that you can lift more and get stronger.
Yeah, and I did notice I was like able to, like there's this, well, with Rhonda, she's a tank and she gets shot and she falls back on me. And I was like, okay, cool. She knocked me to the ground and I caught her and I was like, oh God. And then I was like, man up, Jamie. Cause I was like, I can't say that hurt. Five takes later, I was like, cause my knee was like so swollen with fluid because I was on the cement taking her weight on top of my
knee. Oh, well, of course. Yeah, of course.
And but still, I was like, I'm not going to say anything. And now, we don't really know each other that well, so even if I say it in public now, it's okay.
Cause it's totally fine, yeah. It's totally cool.
Yeah.
So so it sounds like you're pretty good with injury, too. You just shake it up.
Yeah, I heal fast. I heal fast, and I've got so many, like, such an amazing stunt team, and we know to like wrap my ankles and then we do all kinds of stuff like that to prevent like some serious stuff happening. But it just happens. If you do this every day, you're just bound to,
Yeah. Honestly, and it's no secret that men have a much lower threshold for pain. Mm. My wife was combat training for a while. And so she was, I came home one day and she was training in our driveway and she had these two fucking machetes. And this dude, she was like, shink, 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 shink. And one of the machetes like hit her arm and her arm like swelled up and stuff. And it's like, what happened? Oh, yeah, the machete. And I'm like, yeah, but this paper cut is like.
It stings.
And I, I got some lemon in it and it's like, fuck, it really hurt, like there's just we have no tolerance for pain whatsoever.
I know. And I thought that was so funny because the more I realized it, like there'll be some actors that come on our show and say there's like, they need to get their eyebrows tweezed or something.
No, that hurts like shit.
I know, but it's funny because the girls will just sit there and have a full conversation. You'll be pulling hairs out of our nose and wherever else. And we'll just be like, so anyways, did you see what Tad said? And then it's like, a guy will be like, stop it, killing me.
I've only ever done it a couple of times because, every once in a while, as you start to get older, what happens is that all the hair on your body just starts vining up toward your head or it's trying to escape.
Yeah.
It senses death, and so it just all tries to escape your body. And so it just they just start getting crazy. So I have pulled the couple out, and it's like your eyes while you're like, fuck, I heard that one crunch. Like you can hear it when it goes thwip.
It was in deep.
Yeah.
Or you'll sneeze. That always happens to me. They'll just be like, ding, ding, and I'll be like, I'm like, stand back, it's coming. Like,
here it comes. Yeah, I just don't, there's just no tolerance at all. Is there any type of meditation that you do or any type of...
There is a thing that you can do to, I guess, toughen up. Not that I'm saying you need to, but I'm just
like,
there's, I do. Aside from like, smoking cigars and drinking whiskey. No,
right.
I'm just kidding. I only do one of those. what you do is you take sandbags and somebody hits you with them and you try not to move. So you can be in like a Wing Chun stance and somebody will hit you and you have to stay solid, but it's to pretty much toughen you up to be hit.
Right.
To take hits. And I am sure that, I don't know if they do that in judo. I'm trying to think. I think they do that in quite a few different art forms in that way. But they were like, somebody was mentioning it to me, and I was like, you hit me with a sandbag, I will knock your head off. I was like, I'm pretty sure I'll break a bone. I'll be like, don't do that.
Yeah, I don't really have any of that. Like, I know Lydia told the story. Lydia's dad was a police officer, and he was a private detective, and he always taught her, like, how to stuff. And she was she's just this tiny little person. And when she was in, like, first grade,
some kid on the bus was like just bullying her and like jamming his finger. And she's just this adorable little, she just goes, oh, crick, and just like broke the guy's finger back. And then her mom was to her dad was like, why did you teach her to do that? Yeah. And he was like, it worked. He stopped bullying her. So she is that person. And when she trains, you know, if like I get nervous when people, if anyone like were to get in her face, because without thinking, she just might be like, or like, you know, or something.
Yeah, reactionary. I have experienced this twice. I am not a violent person at all. I actually really hate guns, and I've had to really get used to them on the show. But I was in a bar recently, and there were these two guys in the bar, and it was crowded. It was like a really fun bar in Williamsburg, like hole in the wall. You know, they have like Shiner Bock, which was awesome. Anyways, that's aside the point. These two guys, this one guy, I just remember he had a green shirt. His name was Phil. And I was like, your name is Phil. You're an ass. Like, you just look like an asshole.
Like, and Phil, that green shirt.
Phil, yeah. And he was just like, and he goes, hey, Sif. And then I was like,
here we go.
And I turned around. I was like, hi. And then I, you know, I'm polite. And I was being polite. And then he started asking me if I could fight like I do as Lady Sif. And I was like, well, I don't have any armor or a sword or shield. And I was like, so I'm not really not right now.
Right.
And I had a beer in front of me, and I was like, in my brain, I'm thinking the exit's that way. I could break the beer. Like, my brain's like, what am I doing? So I eventually get away from them for a second, and I had to use the bathroom. Now, I don't know about you ladies, but the line for the women's restroom is stupid long and so unfair. And so I'm in this line, and I couldn't, and I didn't want to lose my place in line, but these two fools came up and started messing with me again, and I was like, you have to be, I got to pee, you need to back off, I'll see you in a second, and they just wouldn't leave me alone, and part of me was like, I don't know what to do, because they were starting to grab my shoulders.
Oh, not okay.
It started to be really weird.
Not okay.
So the person who owned the bar was like trying to kick them out, but I was like, if they go outside and I go outside, I don't know if this is going to be weird. I've never had this happen, because most people are nice.
Right.
Except
for fucking Phil.
Right, Phil. I hope you're watching.
Yeah.
You fucking asshat. Phil.
He's the guy that all of his friends are always like apologizing for. Oh,
right,
you know,
pretty
Phil.
Much, I'm sure.
Phil got really Phil, drunk last night. Yeah, you know, yeah. He's
like, anyway.
Had to bail him out again. It's someone should talk to him.
But yeah, I was very close to like having to do something, and I just thought I just need to leave, and so I left. So I was good, right? I was like, I didn't use anything I was taught on the show or high school wrestling, none of that. I was like, I'm just gonna walk away from this because this guy is just a dumb motherfucker. So the next time I go to my friend's wedding, it's in Vegas, okay? This is, so lots of drunk people in Vegas. And I'm in a bar, and this guy, I don't go to bars all the time. This just happens to me. Like, I was like,
I'm starting to
sound
like
an alcoholic.
About something?
Anyways,
Do you want to talk about something?
What time is it?
Anyway, so I was in a bar, and I'm beating this guy's head against the floor, and I don't know what it.
Kind of. Well, no. I thought about it. But this guy, you know, I was sitting there talking to this really sweet girl that was at, she was also a wedding guest, and she's very petite, sweet girl that's out here that's an actress, and she was like, I don't know how to, you know, get into playing roles like you do. I think it sounds so much fun. Like, I wish I could. And I was talking to her. I'm like, well, you absolutely can. You can do anything you want. And she's like, I don't know. You're just, like, so tough. And I was like, well, I mean, yeah, on the show, I mean, I don't, like, do all that stuff. Guy walks up, like, on cue, like, literally on cue, and grabs this girl's butt and starts, like, putting his face near hers. And I got so angry. I took him, like, I hit him in the chest really hard, slid my hand up, grabbed his shirt, and, like, threw him back. And I said, go away. And he goes, I don't give a fuck what you're trying to do. I was like, get away. Like, I was like, leave, pretty much. But, like, way better than what I just did.
I don't have a blind spot, motherfucker. Like, I'll hit you from every direction.
But I was like, I felt so bad after because I was like, what did I just do? I was like, I could have easily just been like, okay, let's, like, her and I could have left. Instead, I, like, literally scared the shit out of this guy.
Good!
But then he stared at me for, like, a beat too long. I was like, he totally knows who I am, so this is even worse, because he's probably like, she's really Jane Doe. And I was like,
right.
Kind of right now, yeah. But it was, like, one of those things where I was like, oh, my God. It was just my immediate reaction was to, instead of leaving or saying, yo, dude, that's
he 100% deserved
I know,
exactly what you did.
Like,
100%. It's not like I mean, it's not like he came up and started talking shit and then you got physical. No, he brought physical to the table.
I know, and this
and then you just
very,
you just bust the table.
I did.
Yeah.
I know. And she was very petite and she just stood there and I was like, what the hell is happening? And then I was like, okay, and you know, there it was.
But you know what's awesome about that story is that you very well could have changed the course of her life because now she'll be like, shit, I need to learn how to do that. And so maybe it like boosted her sense of confidence and well-being.
And also, might I add, I was in a weird bridesmaid's tracksuit, and I had...
What's a bridesmaid's tracksuit?
So this is... I had a very beautiful updo. I had, like, fake lashes and earrings, so I looked probably like some weird, fucked-up version of a prom queen. And so I'm sure this guy was, like, not expecting this shit to happen because everybody was dressed up and...
Yeah.
Vegas style, and,
I still don't know what a bridesmaid tracksuit is. Who are the people... Were these people 80 that got married? What's a tracksuit?
It's velvet.
Uh-huh.
It matches. And yep. Mine was black, so it was classy.
Nice. Very classy. Very classy tracksuit for Vegas.
No periwinkle.
No.
I just went downstairs because we'd all been in our bridesmaids' gowns, and the rule was, like, everybody go change. We're just going to go to a low-key bar, and that's going to be it. So I was like, great, I'm putting on that tracksuit thing. And so I came down in the tracksuit. And so everything about it was just weird.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that guy probably thinks it's a nightmare. Like, he probably doesn't really think that happened for real, that this, like, weird, like, you know, prom queen, but really messed up prom queen, you know, attacked him in a tracksuit in a bar called Senor Frogs.
I think he... Adios.
Super classy establishment. So... But I told my teacher, my Wing Chun teacher, I was like, I need to practice control with that because it just came out of nowhere. I mean, I really, instead of telling the guy to just leave and that's not okay, I literally hurt him. Like, I know I did because I know how to hit there and it's terrible. It's horrible. Like, I know.
Yeah,
I know
whatever.
That.
No permanent tissue damage. Yeah. You know what? Then maybe I'll think twice before trying to grab some lady next time.
I know.
So.
I couldn't even believe it. I thought for a second it was maybe her boyfriend or they knew each other until I saw her face and I was like... And then my amazing assistant, who's here right now, she was there, and she just started laughing. And I remember being like, oh, my God, what am I doing? And she's over there like, that was great. She's, like, laughing. And I was like, Lauren, like, oh, my God, I have to get out of here. I just totally hurt this person. And I don't know, do you get arrested for that?
No.
I was like, I was terrified. I was like, I need to get out of here. Because, like, in Vegas, they have cameras everywhere. And I was like, great, somebody, I'm going to be, like, on the news attacking.
Oh, my God,
the
footage from that would have been amazing.
Like, oh, my God.
I wish someone would put that on YouTube.
It was bad.
Jamie Alexander takes down Phil number two. That guy's name was Phil, too. You know that guy's name was Phil.
It had to have been.
I mean, it's to hear that people are going like, hey, Sif. I mean, you can already tell.
You're screwed.
You can already tell, like, oh, God, this guy wants fucking trouble.
Yeah.
But being a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is such an incredible thing because that is something, you will always be her. You will always be a part of that universe. Yeah. So how did you get involved with Marvel?
Well, it was crazy. I was on a show called Kyle XY. It got canceled. I had saved as much money as I could, but the writers, you know, there was a writer strike in 2009. The economy just tanked. Like, you couldn't get a job anywhere. I mean, I was like, I will mop your floors, nothing. So I went and started, like, applying at different restaurants, and I got to this one bar called Happy Endings. And they're like, yeah, sure, we'll hire you. And I was like, terrific. It's an Ohio State football bar, okay? It's not what you think. However, Marvel didn't know that. So this is what happened. I was there. I was waiting tables. I was literally like, I'm going to leave LA. It's just not working out. Like, I back waitressing, you know, I was on a show. I thought I would be able to keep up the momentum. And it was just really difficult, right? So I'm clean. Literally, they have beer pong there. I don't know if you guys have ever been there. It's still here. It's on Sunset Boulevard. And, like, there's beer pong. There's a Wheel of Fortune, and you spin that, and then you have to drink what it tells you to drink.
Jesus,
I mean, it's that place, right? So I'm in there, and I'm, you know, people are drunk, so I'm making great tips. It's great. And there would always be a group of ladies. I'm sure this happened in the men's room, but because I'm not a dude most days, I didn't go in there and clean it up. But I had to go and mop vomit off the women's bathroom, you know?
Oh.
So I got this call to audition for they wouldn't tell me what it was, just a movie where I was going to be a superhero. So I was like, okay. So I go in and I read for it, and I'm like, I'm one of the last people to go in. Like, they've been trying to cast this for, like, months. And I was like, this is never going to work out. So I go in there, and I do the audition, and I leave, and I go to the bar and mop up some more puke. and I just, you know, I didn't hear anything for a week, so I was like, you know what? Screw this. Like, I just am going to, I'm going to give up. I can feel it. And I, like, cried, and I fell asleep and took myself a nap before my shift at the bar. And then I woke up and I had like 30 missed calls. And then they were like, Kenneth Branagh wants to Skype with you. And I was like,
what?
And then I was like, well, I got to go to the bar. Otherwise, I'm going to get fired. So I was like, I can't Skype with him right now because I was like, I literally need to pay my rent and feed myself. So we set it up. I Skyped with him. I went back in and put the scene on tape like a bunch of different ways for him because he was overseas. Then I get this call from Kevin Feige,
yep,
and Chris Kyle at Marvel, and they're like, will you come and meet us? You know, we're down in Manhattan Beach. So I'm like, okay, so I got this, somebody to cover the shift. Go down there, and I have a collection of knives. I like to collect knives. That's a totally normal thing to do.
It is. It's very normal.
It started when I was a kid. I'm just going to say, four brothers, like, it was just like you always had like a pocket knife or something. And then I just started really loving like William Henry's, like a piece of jewelry, like all these knives, Spyderco, everything, Kershaw. So I had a big knife in my bag, and my purse fell off the chair next to me in front of the Marvel people, and a knife fell out along with a tampon. So yeah, and I was like, this week get any worse, because I was like, I'm gonna go clean up puke in about 2 hours, and I just dropped a knife and a tampon in front of all these people, and I was like, I'm gonna get arrested.
What if you're, how do you not make illegal a joke out of that? Or you're like,
no, they,
this one,
they were like,
makes the blood flow from the body. This one. Anyway, can I have the part?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, I'm a well-balanced individual.
I mean, you so, see,
yeah,
you see,
like, it's, done. It's done. In fact, I'll sign it in blood.
well, Kevin, like, you know, Kevin's such a sweet guy,
yes,
and they've done such an incredible job over there.
Yeah.
But also, when I first saw you in that movie and then I met you afterwards, I was like, oh, you're not British.
No.
I legit thought you were, because of course it makes sense, Nordic gods would have British accents. So was that, I assume that might have been the Kenneth Branagh.
Well, that was, yeah, and that was the funny thing, because when we all got to set eventually, after they horribly pranked me, and it's probably because I accidentally somehow pulled a knife on them, but not
yes
really.
You also pulled a tampon on them, technically.
I did. Yeah. I was like, there you go. That's me in a nutshell.
Won't a rumble?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, this one. Sorry.
This, I'm not going to go any further.
No, please do.
No.
You're among friends.
All right. So the British accent thing came from, we had originally, there was a fellow from Japan, one from Ireland, I'm from the U.S., Chris is Australian. Nobody was from England except for Tom
Hiddleston. Right.
And then, of course, like, we ended up getting more people, you know. We were like, what are we supposed to do? And they had toyed with me being Irish, like having a sing-song type of accent. And then we were just going through it, and Ken was like, you know what? We're just going to make it pretty standard. And, like, let's, you know, Tom has a very standard British accent that's, like, articulate and whatever.
Right.
So pretty much, like, what was happening was we were going up to Tom and being like, hey, will you say this really quick? And then he'd be like, read it, and then I would go, great, thank you. But we had dialect coach, but, you know, a lot of us were like, we're supposed to match Tom in a way, so we were just asking him to say stuff. And I was like, well, I mean, it'll all happen. So in the second one, we didn't have Ken, and we went there, and they were like, we're going to go for more of like a mid-Atlantic. So I was like, well, what the hell does that mean? And they're like, just not as, like, posh or proper. And I was like, okay, I'm from Texas. I don't know the difference.
I just talk the way Madonna talks.
I think, right? Or Lindsay Lohan now, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure. I was like,
I don't know whatever to do.
Yeah, yes, pretty much. Yeah.
It's a lot of it's, that stuff.
It's like, so then I was like, all right, so I guess we're going to have different accents in the segment. But anyways, they were just like, instead of saying like forbidden, it would be much softer. So like instead of hitting all the D's and the T's and like all that stuff, it just needs to flow a little bit like easier. So we did that, and we had a different dialect coach. He was Irish, and then I was just like, you guys are fucking me up. I don't understand, like, which way is what. But it was really fun. Yeah, it was really, really fun. So, Ken really set the bar extremely high for those films, I think.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our audience members are going to come up. They're going to ask questions. I'm going to give them fabulous prizes. And remember, we want to hear from you guys at home. Use at Talking on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, and you can find updates about our upcoming guests. Ask questions. You can be a part of the conversation if you want. That is my pledge to you. I'm going to read some questions off cards, too. We'll have some video chat answers. More in a bit with Jamie Alexander. We'll see you. Welcome back to Talking with Chris Hardwick. Jamie Alexander is here, and now we're going to have an audience member ask a question. So let's do that. Someone come on up and ask a question. Hello. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Kelly from Los Angeles.
Oh, excellent. What is your question?
So you play a lot of strong female characters. What would you say to a girl that's struggling with low self-esteem?
Oh, that's actually a very... thank you. That's an awesome question. I struggle with it all the time. I still do. I mostly did when I was a lot younger. I'm in my 30s now, so I'm trying to figure shit out. But the thing is, there is no duplicate of you. Like, and it's something you really have to listen to, because you can't be recreated. You just can't. So that gives you an advantage over everybody in this room, that there's no way that they can be you, and you have something to offer. So that alone is everything. Because, we go into castings all the time, and you're sitting there with, like, a bunch of other girls that, like, probably are thinner, bigger boobs, better hair, whatever, and you have to go, you know what, but they're still not me. And so that's what you have to put forward, is that you are on this earth for a reason, and you are you, and no one else can talk. Got a very interesting box of stuff over here.
I don't know if this was all supposed to go together. Okay, great. Would you like a sword or a shield?
I'll take a sword.
You'll take a sword. All right. There you go. We have a video message for Jamie. Let's see what it is.
Hi, Jamie. My name's Megan, and I'm from Kent in England. And if I could ask you one question, it would be, what makes you break character the most during filming and why?
Did we get subtitles with that?
Wait, what? I think, what character? How do we do that? Do I watch it again?
Yeah, let's watch it again.
Hi, Jamie. My name's Megan, and I'm from Kent in England. If I could ask you one question, it would be, what makes you break character the most during filming and why?
What makes you break character most during filming and why? It's obvious that's what said.
Pretty much, I'm horrible if I'm in a scene with somebody and there's a third person and they don't, you know, they're not talking just yet. I'm just talking with somebody else. And then I look over and they're like this. Like, they're trying, for some reason, something's funny and they're trying not to laugh. So they look up this way and I cannot keep a straight face. Like, I'll just start busting out laughing. Like, I can't help it. There's Audrey, who plays Agent Zapata on our show. She is the worst. If I catch her, my co-star is doing an American accent, okay, Sullivan Stapleton. Sometimes certain things come out of his mouth that just sound really crazy or weird, and then we'll be like, what'd you say? Like that, like case in point, like her. it's funny, but you'll try to, like, because he'll stay really serious, and you'll try not to laugh because you're like, don't want to be an asshole, but it's funny because it's funny, right?
Right.
So she'll go, and she'll have her hair down. She'll flick her hair in front of her face and try to turn away, and I'll be like, fuck. And I'm like, ah. Oh. And then everybody just breaks, and then he's like, what? And we're like, nothing. Like, I don't know. But then it just gets worse and worse. So once you get the giggles going, it's like, forget it.
This is where the Texas and you need to come out, and you just go, you talk funny. Yeah.
I can't understand.
I don't understand it. You just talk funny.
Yeah, but it's all in good fun. But yeah, I can't. If I catch somebody else trying to, like, not laugh.
You can't. It's just breaking.
Terrible.
Let's take a couple of questions from the internet.
Okay.
I don't know if some of these. I don't know if you. I feel like these are questions you may not be able to answer. Oh, you can answer this.
Oh, they have a sexual nature or something.
No. No.
Well, that would be the only thing I don't want to talk about here.
No, I was talking about.
I'm confused.
Like season 3 questions.
Oh. Okay. Well, I mean.
Like I would ever.
I don't know.
These are. I mean, we already know you carry around a knife and a tampon. Like I already know that. No. It's just things that are coming up on the show that you probably can't talk about.
Okay.
But you can talk about this. Eleftheria Cha on Twitter says, "What is your favorite scene in season 2?"
Oh God. This is also going to make me sound really crazy, but I like the torture scene when I'm being tortured in the first episode back in season two, there's this great montage of my character being held in a black site, a CIA black site, and she's being tortured, and then she finally gets the upper hand and just annihilates everybody in there that was torturing her.
Yeah.
So that was one of my favorite scenes to be a part of, because of just working with all those stunt people. It was so much fun. The gravity of the scene, the makeup, the prosthetics I had to wear and everything like that was pretty rad.
Okay, so that's good. Okay, this is from Emily Konieksny. I don't know how all these letters are supposed to be separated. What was your reaction when you read the finale?
Oh, man. I was like, okay, so I loved
it. Oh, wait, hang on one sec. They just said to hold because your mic is all screwy. Sorry.
Oh, that is way further down than it was before.
Here comes everyone.
I think it's because my shirt untied itself. I mean, unless there's like a little fairy back there that's untying stuff.
Can you get her wardrobe? I don't have one of those. I don't have a wardrobe person. Can't you tell? And then, yeah.
Wait, what was the question? The question was, what was your favorite
Sussling.
When you came to the thing?
Oh,
what was all right in the loo?
The Phil. Okay.
Welcome to What's All This Then? Okay. The question again was, all right, here. Boy, I don't know how to say this name. Stop it! I have it right here! How dare you! I'm driving here! I will turn this car around and take you kids home! And no ice cream! But thank you for paying attention, though. I really gotta say, that was... This guy didn't jump in. You had it right there. All right, great. The question was, what was your... from Emily Konieksny, what was your reaction when you read the finale?
All right. So, well, when I read the finale, a lot of it was just bananas in a good way. I was like, whoa, that's happening. That's happening. I love the 2-year jump that she's been missing for 2 years, which obviously in season 3, we'll get to see where she's been. The glowing tattoo thing threw me for a loop only because I was like, now how the F are we supposed to do this for season 3 where I got to glow now? I already have tats everywhere. How are you going to glue little LED lights to my body? So I was a little confused. But then the sci-fi side of me was like, I like this. But then I was like, I don't know what we're going to do with this. And I was like, is it a dream? I mean, I had so many questions. And of course, they're like, we're not telling you. You have the biggest mouth in the free world. I'll just tell everybody what happens in the next season. So I still don't really know what the glowing...
So you still don't know yet?
Yeah, she's a glowworm.
She's a glowworm.
She's
That's
a
what
glowworm.
It is. She's a glowworm, and she's going to turn into a glow butterfly.
Yeah,
by the
she
time
probably
it's all
loved
done.
Tron as a kid. I Where, feel like it's...
Who really, didn't love Tron as a kid?
I
that
mean,
movie's amazing.
I know. But yeah, I was very excited, and then also had tons of questions, which is great, because hopefully so do you guys, so you'll watch season 3.
I mean, is that a direction that you think it's going in? Like,
I don't think it's definitely not going to go the sci-fi route, just because we're trying to keep it very balanced in reality and that kind of thing. But I did find out like why those are there.
Okay,
I'm really trying to behave.
Yeah.
Next question.
Hard. It's hard. The next question is why are those there?
Okay. Yeah.
I know. I also know. Even just hearing you reference Tron is utterly delightful because I know you also read comic books too and stuff, and you're into a lot of the stuff that you are now a part of in your professional career.
Yeah.
So what types of stuff were you into?
Oh gosh. I mean, I used to daydream I was Jubilee. So my thing was I cut my hair into a pixie and then I tried to find a yellow. By the way, I look like crap in yellow. I can't wear yellow. I look like I'm dying. I turn green. It's weird. It's horrible. It's like an olive complexion thing. But anyways, she was my favorite. Favorite. Not a huge fan of her being a vampire, though.
Right.
Kind of skipped those books. Sorry, don't mean to be a dick, but that was weird. Gambit was my other favorite, so that made sense. But I was, like, really big into X-Men, Spider-Man, pretty much whatever my brothers had, I would use. Like, because we were pretty poor, so it's not like I could go and buy, like, all the things I wanted. So I would pretty much read whatever they were reading.
Right.
And it was, stuff like Spider-Man, Superman, all the basics. And then I used to daydream that I was a superhero. Like, I'd always try to think of, like, ways I could be one. And, like, if I jumped out of the tree, like, would I die or break a leg? And then I would try it. And then,
Yeah.
An Ivy later. But it was like, I was just always doing that kind of stuff and running around making capes, like forts on my bed, like everything, any and everything. So that just sort of stuck with me. And then, of course, when I got to play Sif, I was just really excited.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I think it's always nice for the fans to hear, like, oh, it's not just some role. Like, it really was something that was such a central part of who you are and what you were into when you were growing up.
Yeah, it was one of those things when we were on set and all of us are in our costumes and we're like, this is what we dreamed of as a kid. This is so crazy. And we're actually getting paid to do this. And I would look at myself in the mirror and I was just a giant. I mean, I had, like, tall boots. I was probably, like, 6'3" as Sif. So it was just like the little kid part of me was just so excited. And I just, I still can't really.
And I know you're a Star Wars fan too.
Yeah.
Have you done the Chewbacca voice you must have done it for people before.
Oh yeah, man. It's like, that's my backup plan. That's my plan B. If I don't get another acting gig, I'm just going to open a booth and I'm going to do Chewbacca. And then you guys got to pay like $1. Because what
$1 for Chewbacca is totally worth it.
I know. Cause I feel like see, I have faith in myself that I'll garner like a ton of people coming through that booth.
Hey Spence, can I have $1?
So,
Spence, give me $1.
Okay, but I don't have anywhere to put that.
Hi, I would like to talk to Chewbacca, please.
Okay.
What? Phil did what? I think you should totally do that.
I'm just going to do that to the next Phil. I'm just going to do Chewbacca to him, see what happens.
But I got some news for you. You could charge more than $1 for that. I think people would pay a lot of money to come up to Comic-Con and have you just do that to them.
Don't give me any ideas. You'll see me this July. I'll be in a booth.
Do we have time for another audience question? We're going to take a break. Okay. Before we go to break, I want to let you guys know the extended version of this chat is available as a podcast on Nerdist, which you've already done, but this is a different conversation altogether. Mm-hmm. Go to amc.com/talking for bonus clips, exclusive content, and links to the podcast for every one of our episodes. More with Jamie Alexander when we come back. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Jamie Alexander is talking with Chris Fabric. Let's take another question from the studio audience. Come on up. What is your question?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Jana.
What's your name?
I'm Jana. I'm from Chicago. And my question is, what is your fondest memory of working on Kyle XY?
Oh, wow. Gosh, probably just any scene I had with Matt Dallas. He was just so lovely. He's still one of my closest friends. He's like my brother. Just incredible guy. We had a fight scene on the edge of the Cleveland Dam. It was actually the first big jump I did off of... I'm nuts, by the way. I can't even believe I did that. It, like, very close to it. It scared the crap out of me without a harness. My stunt girl just shoved me in the back, and I was like, boink. I was like, okay. Like, yeah, I know. We are friends, but this is weird, right? Opposites attract as friends. So here's what I did. I, like, jumped off the thing. Matt, like, came up to me, and then we had this fight scene. He turned into one of my punches, and I gave him a black eye. And he was like, it's okay. And he gave me a hug. And I was like, I love you.
Aww,
and
that
was like one of the best people I've ever worked with. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Let's see. What do I have for you here? What is this? This is, I'm trying to see if there is a Kyle XY related thing here.
Oh, no.
No, there isn't. But I can give you how about the pilot script to Blindspot signed? Okay, great. Yes. Yes. Appreciate me because I give you things. I will buy your appreciation. Let's take another video message.
Hi, I'm Paul from Hatfield, PA. And my question is, now that you're a big part of Marvel's MCU, would you ever consider doing a spin-off of Just Lady Sif or Lady Sif and the Warriors 3?
Yes, and yes. That would be so much fun. I would love to do something like that. So I feel like I need to give him a longer answer. But
well,
really,
he asked you a yes or no question.
Yes with a capital Y.
Yeah, he asked you a yes or no question. That's totally fair. Let's have another studio audience question. Come on up. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Mike from Denver, Colorado.
Excellent.
And I wanted to know, if you didn't become an actress, what would you be?
Ooh, I would probably be a chef. Yeah, I grew up cooking a lot, and I absolutely love it. I would absolutely just be a chef.
What would you like to make? Already said chili. You like to like make me... Okay, I don't know if you know what a chef is. Chefs don't make knives. Oh, using knives.
Butcher,
using
yeah.
knives.
Yeah. No, I love... I make a lot of Southwest cuisines. My mom is incredible. She's taught me pretty much everything I know. So anything spicy, chili, tacos. I make food in stages so that it can accommodate a vegan, a vegetarian, and a meatitarian.
Uh-huh.
So I do that so that everybody in the family can just, you know, go, okay, I want some steak, or I just want, you know, some greens.
I just want a thing that's not steak, but it's a fake steak.
Yes. That would be Phil.
That would be Phil. Phil would say that. And he's not even a vegan. He's just being a dick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, what do I have left for you? I have a sheet.
I mean, the costume.
I'll let you. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, sure. Do you want the costume, or would you like the?
No.
You like the shield? Would a shield be sure. of your? Or would you like a? Would you like a Thor script?
Thor script.
Thor script.
Right.
Here you go. Thor script signed by Jamie Ellington. Oh, you have a great signature.
Thanks.
You have a really great signature.
Oh,
here,
God.
Can I get this on the camera? This is a really great signature. But there's almost like a face in it that's like, meh, like right there. That guy right there. Here's your Thor script. Thank you so much. Let's just rifle through just a couple more social media questions just so... Oh, here we go. This is from Camille Quirazov. Fuck, I'm sorry. It's Camille and then Quirozov. Any takers on that? All right. Where do you see Jane Doe? What do you see Jane Doe doing in 5 years into the future?
Laser removal.
Oh, that'd be so painful. That'd be such a painful process.
I mean, I am currently still in the process of getting a gigantic tattoo. I have a ton of my own, really.
Oh, let's see. What are you getting removed?
Well, it was a giant Pisces fish. So it went from here to here. And might I just tell you, laser removal is the most painful thing I have ever experienced. And I've broken a lot of bones. And I was just, it swells like a golf ball. It's
yeah.
disgusting.
Yeah.
But I had to stop when I got the show because we, you know, stick tattoos over it and it can't be, you know. No.
Oh, okay, good. I thought it was someone like your mom was like, oh, actually, you're a
I
Capricorn.
Like that one. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, right.
Shit.
Oh, God.
Why did you say something?
Son of a... Yeah.
I know.
She loves my tattoos.
I mean, my ex-girlfriend had just a simple black band around her arm, and was like, and it was the same thing. Where I was like, oh, it was tough to work because they always have to cover it up.
Yeah.
So someone gave her she won in a raffle like a coupon for 5 laser removals.
Yeah.
And she goes in, and they're like, oh yeah, we should be able to do this in 5 or 6 treatments.
No.
The first time when she was in pain, she would laugh. So she'd be like, but tears streaming down her face. Because it, yeah, and you hear it. It goes
yeah, it's
pop, 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 yeah. pop, and it like dissolves. And then
and you smell it too.
And you smell it. It smells like burning, and it's your fucking flesh.
Yeah.
And it legitimately took like 2.5 years to make it fully go away. Because you can't, you have to take some time in between treatments.
Yeah, a couple months in between treatments. And then like if you go to an institute for laser, they can inject you with like a numbing. I don't know what that would be.
Isn't it like a local anesthetic or something?
I don't use it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
I just bite down on a leather strap.
Pretty much. I'm squeezing like this little stress ball, and I'm like, I'm gonna break this. I was like, oh. And they would. So if you're really pale like I am, and you have black ink, it picks it up fast. It goes away quicker, but it hurts so bad. And so I would just, you know, wear like bandages around my arm, and it totally made me feel cool.
Hey, how many treatments so far?
I've had like 15 treatments.
Holy shit. And what's
this
left?
This is scar. This is a deeper ink. It depends how deep the ink is. And this had faded to gray. So they were able to get that off really easy. But yeah, it's just one of those things. So I just left it. And so I'll probably 2 more treatments and it'll go away.
Oh my God, that's incredible.
Or I could just get your, you know, something for you here if you
want. Oh, that'd be really nice. Yeah. I'm a Sagittarius if you want to put a centaur.
Maybe some archery. Maybe like a, you know, something sharp.
I believe your tattoo, Phil, is a piece of...
Oh man, that's 2 questions, lady.
God!
The best quality, I think, is just her intuition, her instinct is to help, is always to like save and help. The worst one would be something that I have too, where it's, she's very reactionary, so she'll just take your head off. Like, you know what I mean? She's just like, right away, she's just like, pow, or just like knocking somebody out, and that's, maybe I should stop talking. Next
No, that's fine. Listen, I think it's great. I think people need to know.
I feel like I'm going to get arrested as soon as I leave here. I carry, like, you know, illegal blades and all kinds of stuff. I don't have one here today.
Nope, that's what?
Promise.
You promise?
Yes.
All right. This is from Metal Guru 73. What do you fancy for breakfast?
Oh, well, if I've worked out, I have a protein shake because mm-hmm. I'm super busy. Otherwise, it's like fried eggs, toast, the works.
Good.
Anything spicy. Yeah.
Good. And then two more things. Because you are a knife fan, mm-hmm. talk about knives for a second. Like, what's a okay. knife that you like and what is it that you like about it?
Well, so I have this, I don't know who makes this because it's not, a stunt girl I worked with gave it to me, but it's a claw. It's like a hook. And the bottom has a circle, so I don't know what that's for. I guess you can club somebody. I have no idea.
Sure.
Anyways, I like it because you can actually put it through your hands and you can punch somebody if you have to. This is not okay. You're going to get me arrested. Okay, so
this segment's called Exhibit A.
What not to do. Oh, man.
But what is it that attracts you to, like, what is it about knives? Is it the artistry or is
yes,
it the...
Yes, so it's like William Henry, if you know of any of those knives, I don't know if you guys have ever seen them. You don't use those to open boxes. They're beautiful. And the swirls in the steel are so perfect. They will, you know, sometimes they'll be like ingrained with pearls and things like that. So it can be like, it's definitely a collector's knife, in my opinion. It's beautiful. It's like jewelry. So some people invest in jewelry. I invest in knives. Anyways. And then I happen to really like Kershaw. That was like my first brand of a knife. They're super easy, very light, very affordable. Spyderco is really good. They use those a lot in the military. They typically, a lot of them have handles that won't melt or freeze. So if you're outside and it's super hot or something and it's laying on a metal table, you can grab the knife and it won't burn you. This is super weird.
Chris. Not at all, because I feel
this
like...
This is a coffee conversation, not in front of the public.
I think
else?
People need
Let's
to know. People need yeah. to know that if there is an apocalypse, you are the leader of it.
I guess, but...
yeah. I mean, there is 100% no question. I mean, my Lydia is the same way. Like, she loves knives and weapons and all sorts of cool stuff
That's
like
great.
That. And if there is an apocalypse, I'm like,
you're
well,
great.
Yeah, I know.
You're good.
Yeah. I don't need to learn anything. I just need to not, I just need to make sure she doesn't lose me.
Yeah.
As long as I can stick, like in an apocalypse, I'm going to follow her like a 3-year-old and follows their mom in a grocery store or a mall.
Yeah.
Just make sure.
Very close.
Like, Lydia, right here. Lydia, Lydia, zombie. You know, I'll just be shouting. But as we're kind of wrapping this out, what's a really great piece of wisdom that you have to impart or something, just something that you live by, or maybe there's a piece of advice someone gave you at some point that you know, like a guiding principle or something.
A piece of advice. I always say if you find yourself in a situation you don't know what to do about it, and this is how I play some of my characters, especially Jane, but there's a quote that insecurities are loud and confidence is silent. So if you notice that you're, you know, I don't know, if I'm super uncomfortable, like right now, I will like be really loud or something like that. And that shows that, you know, I'm a bit insecure with something. If I'm confident, it's more relaxed. It's more mellow. So I tend to bring that into my characters, but it can help you decide where you stand on certain things. You know, if you really think about it, do I feel calm? Do I feel at rest? You know, then this is okay. I know what to do. If you feel really uneasy, then okay, that you can sort of combat that behavior. You know, if you're going for an interview, just know that you need to quiet yourself before you go in if you're nervous. I don't know. Does that make any sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Okay.
That makes perfect sense!
Oh, great!
No, I'm kidding. Oh, yeah, because... because when you're nervous and the blood's flowing, the adrenaline's flowing, it almost like it makes it hard to hear. So you don't know that you're up here and you're on the edge.
Also, if somebody is treating you poorly and they're just very aggressive with it, they're just really insecure with who they are.
Yeah.
And if you meet somebody who's like extremely confident in who they are, then it feels safer. It's usually more of a quietness and like a chill vibe. Like, this is not going like I thought it would.
What?
I don't know what else to say. I was going to, like, say more stuff, and then...
You just crapped out halfway through. I was going to say...
I was
going to say,
I was just
Phil clearly was very insecure, because Phil was loud and had to prove had something to prove.
Bright green shirt.
Is anyone wearing a green shirt? God damn it. Let's get all the green shirts out. Well, I look down and it's like a green shirt.
In fact.
But sort of building on that, I worked with a trainer for a long time, and he taught me something I thought was really great to sort of build on that is I found that a lot of times I was like up here on my toes because I'm always ready to, maybe to run. and it was teaching me to sit back on my heels, because when you sit back on your heels, it's sort of like you said, you're more calm and you're more comfortable and you're more confident. So I think that's great advice. And I think it's such a bummer that this is the only time we've had to hang out in recent memory.
I know.
Because you're just being all successful in New York and stuff.
Okay, you have your own talk show.
Well, okay.
This is what we do when we hang out.
No.
And then sometimes we'll chest bump.
And then you get on your motorcycle and I get back into the safety of my automobile. But I hope to get to see you again soon in a social situation. And maybe we'll bring these guys along the next time we do. But this is so much fun. Thank you for your...
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loreau, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.